Are you a high-performing parent, entrepreneur, or high achiever in pursuit of excellence? Welcome to The Nexus Podcast, a podcast custom-tailored for families like ours, driven, affluent, and eager to lead extraordinary lives. From rockstar stay-at-home moms to high-producing CEOs, we choose to model success for everyone we are surrounded by. We prioritize health over sickness, embrace a vitalistic lifestyle, and seek to tap into the limitless potential that God has bestowed upon us. I'm Dr. Daniel Kimble, your host, and on this podcast, we'll uncover the secrets to living a fulfilling and abundant life, where you and your loved ones can thrive physically, mentally, and spiritually. Together, we'll forge a path to greatness and unleash your God-given capabilities. Get ready to say yes to a life of true prosperity and well-being. This is The Nexus Podcast. Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, and I'm going to give you an apology in advance that I maybe have failed you for not doing video 2 weeks in a row. As I was just sitting down to record this episode of the podcast, there are roofers working and on the roof right next to the room that I record in, and it just wasn't possible, and you may still be able to hear them banging even as I'm recording this episode. So apologies if that's the case. But without further ado, here's what I want to talk about this week. I have a client who brought up something very interesting to me that I never really thought about before. She has a 13-year-old daughter, 14-year-old now. And she was like, you know what? You should like do some info for parents on like, you know, just about raising teenagers and not even necessarily about parenting, but just kind of like this thought process of where the brain is at during these developmental stages of life, specifically with kiddos who are in this like kind of, you know, hormonal influx, and there's lots of changes happening, and there's lots of mood swings, and there's lots of things going on. And the question becomes like, well, why are kids so difficult at that age? And I know there are superheroes out there who love like the middle school, early high school ages. And unfortunately, just that, like when I was teaching, that just wasn't the case. But what I realized teaching is that there are a set of skills in which we can teach kids so that they will be more successful, so that they will be more regulated, so that they will be just more productive in general. And, you know, a lot of what we talk about when I talk about chiropractic care is the front part of the brain. And the reality is those skills for productivity, for being more regulated, come from the front part of the brain, the frontal cortex specifically. And so I'm bringing this episode to you in an attempt to share some knowledge that I gained from teaching that I hope can help you as you navigate the life as a parent. And it doesn't matter what age. Like I said, this mom just asked me specifically because her kiddo is 14 now, and that can be a very challenging age, I think. And I'm not there, right? So I gotta like preface this whole thing with like, I honestly don't know. I don't think any of us really know or have a definitive answer. I know every kid is different. But what I also know is this, is that every single kid like has the same potential to be successful, to be healthy, to be well-regulated, and that all comes from the brain. And so the first thing, like when I think about kids and I think about how they learn and I think about what success comes from for middle school kids or high school kids or kids of any age really, and the success actually comes from a set of skills that can be learned at any age, and the earlier that they are taught, the better. So as I'm thinking about this podcast and this mom asking me, you know, hey, you should like do a whole thing where you talk about like, what are the strategies that parents could use? This is the first thing I would encourage you to do. So number one, I would argue the most important thing that you could do if you were a parent of any age, kiddos, is just remembering the fact that you used to be at that stage at some point in your life. And whether you deny it or whether you do not deny it is a whole different conversation. But the reality is I can guarantee that you were there. So trying to remember where you were when you were that age is crucial. And so what I mean by this is I'm going to give an example and then I'll circle back to it. I remember coaching volleyball back in Indiana. And we had a strength coach who had been there for a long time. He was like an OG in the game. He was not old. He was super fit. But he coached, strength coached some of the girls who then went on to become the coaches that I was coaching with. So in other words, another way to put that is like some of the coaches that I was coaching with were volleyball players back in the day who had the same strength coach who was still the strength coach at the school I was teaching at. Now, why does this matter? It matters because I would hear these coaches say, I was never like that when I was a freshman in high school or a junior in high school. And like literally every single time this coach would be like, hey, I was here as a coach when these girls were going through. And yes, they were exactly the same and could point out like exact moments when these ladies were claiming to be something better than what the, you know, the kiddos that they're coaching now are, and, you know, unmotivated or not listening or not really caring or like whatever the case may be. So that doesn't necessarily matter. But the reason I share that with you is because one of the keys, one of the things that I found to be super successful with the kids that I work with inside of my office and the teenagers and the adults I work with inside of my office, but also just like your kids and parenting at home, is remembering that at one point you used to be the same way. So if you can hold on to this idea and this fact and this concept that like, yes, you have grown and yes, you have developed and yes, you have changed as a human being, but almost like this idea of never forgetting where you came from. Because what I know is that one of the reasons that I feel like I was successful with teaching kids is because I could remember what it was like to be a high school kid. Like I literally remember thinking that my parents were dumb. I literally remember thinking that my mom didn't know anything. I literally remember thinking that my parents would never suspect me of doing the things that I was doing. And even though I think they knew all of it, and now I look back on it and I'm like, oh my gosh, my parents actually knew some stuff. But I had to like capture that moment of remembering exactly what I was like when I was in high school. I remember thinking that high school was stupid. I remember thinking that college was going to be a waste of time, that I didn't care about my grades, that I would rather party, that sports didn't matter, and being athletically active and eating healthy. Like, I remember all that stuff being stupid to me as a high schooler. And so when I can just put myself back into those shoes of a high schooler, it's very easy for me to relate with them because I know what they're going through and I can tell them straight up like, hey, I understand what it is that you're experiencing. I understand that this is the way you think and this is the way that you believe the world is. And from there, then they're like, oh my gosh, there's somebody who actually gets me. And you don't have to tell them that they're wrong. That's a cool part about it, is like what you're doing is just modeling like, hey, I used to be there. So that's number one, I would say, is just trying to remember and remind yourself that you used to be there and developmentally from a brain perspective. You know, I always talk about the brain from the chiropractic perspective, but just from a developmental perspective, remember that these kiddos' brains are developing up until about the age of 21, much, much older if they're a male. Females are a little bit earlier because they just get more mature more quickly. But like the brain is still developing at these crucial, at 13, at 15, at 17, at 19, at 20. Think about how different you are as a person from 21 to like 25. Huge, huge difference in the way you approach life, the way you think about things, et cetera. So the reason I share this with you is just to remember that the brain is literally operating at a certain level based on its development. And this is just part of like how a human species grows, right? So crucial in understanding and remembering, remember where you came from. You'll be able to relate to your kids better and you'll be able to give them a level of honesty that they will appreciate and they will actually create more trust with you. I promise you that. And again, not saying I have all the parenting hacks figured out, but I do have some things figured out because I work with kids for a long time and still continue to inside of my office. So that's number one. Number two actually comes from a book. So as I was thinking about like, what else would I share with you? This concept kept coming up to me about how do we create confidence in children? How do we create more growth? How do we create kids who are going to be set up on the most likely path of success possible? And the reality is like, I always say this, and you've heard me talk about this on previous episodes of the podcast, is that every kid has the same potential to be successful and to be healthy. So the question then becomes is like, how do we foster that success? How do we get kids to be grounded, to be successful, to be confident, to be resilient? And confidence comes from this. And this is a quote by Brené Brown out of her book, Dare to Lead. She says, the more grounded confidence that parents have, the more likely they are to prepare their child for that path by teaching courage, praising effort, modeling grit, versus trying to prepare a perfect path for the child by fixing, praising only results, and intervening. What does this mean? This means that quite simply is that if you can teach your kids how to focus on effort, how to focus on being courageous and exercising their grit, that will actually allow them to be the most successful and be the most confident. And what she's saying then is that parents who try to create a perfect path for their children, whether that's financially by putting them in the perfect school, by creating all the perfect scenarios, by always helping them when they get in trouble or when they get in a jam or when they can't figure something out, by fixing and intervening, then what you'll lead to is a kid that is less confident, that is less courageous, that is less brave, that is ultimately less successful. What I think is interesting about this quote is that Andrew Huberman on his podcast just talked about a study where they took a group of kids, and what they did with these kids is they took the kids and they had them take a test, a very difficult intelligence test. And what they did is they praised half of that group of kids on their intelligence. So how smart they are and how brilliant they were and how intelligent they were and how they gave great answers. And the other group of kids they took and they praised them on their effort. So like, hey, you tried your best. You worked really, really hard. I'm so proud of the effort and the focus that you put in. I'm proud of how hard you focus and how hard you tried. So that's like praising effort, right? And so then they had these kids take another test. And what they found is that the entire group who was praised on intelligence actually did worse on the second test. So the kids praised on intelligence actually did worse. The kids praised on effort and grit and focus were the kiddos who all did better on the second test. And so what does this mean is like, if you want to build confident, healthy, successful, courageous kids, you literally have to start focusing on praising their effort and their grit, not their intelligence. And so, you know, a lot of like, I see this a lot with parents, and I'm not, again, not saying it's good, bad, right, or wrong, but where they're like, oh, you're so smart. You figured out the colors. You put the puzzle together. You're so smart. You have such a big brain. You did such a good job. Instead of saying, hey, I saw how hard you focused and how much you were paying attention and how committed you were to figuring out how to get the right answer, and your effort and your focus were so good. I'm so proud of how hard you worked. Two very, very different types of praise. And what Brené Brown and others and the research all support is that when you praise kids from a place of effort, you will allow them to be more successful. Why is this the case? It is the case because effort and grit and willpower are components of the front part of the brain. And the front part of the brain is what is responsible for our grit, for our willpower, for our determination, for setting goals, things like that. And so what happens, and like what I realized teaching, is that we have to start teaching our kids a set of skills. And a set of skills is not being smart. A set of skills is being able to figure it out no matter what. A set of skills is being able to say, I said I'm going to get this job done. I'm going to get this job done. A set of skills is saying, I worked as hard as I could, and even if I lost, that's okay because I gave my best effort. These are the skills that are housed in the frontal cortex of the brain. And when people have these skills, they have more confidence. And when they have more confidence, they're willing to take bigger risk. And when they're willing to take bigger risk, because things don't seem scary in life, they're willing to have the potential of failing, but it really doesn't end up a failure because every failure is a learning lesson in the first place. And so these are just two of the things that I would encourage you to think about as parents. When you think about like, okay, how can we raise more resilient? How can we raise more successful? How could we raise kids who are more likely to be successful? And then everything else from that is like, what do we do with the front part of the brain, right? Because ultimately what we know and what all the research shows and what all the studies show, and like, if you don't believe me, read Paul Tuff's book, How Children Succeed. What he talks about is that kiddos who are more stressed out are less likely to be successful in every phase of life after. And so what this, and then so like what he looked at is like, why are some kids super successful and other kids aren't? And what he found is that the kids who are super successful, they have a set of skills, not a set of knowledge. They don't know math, science, English, history better. They have a set of skills. They have grit, they have willpower, they have determination, they have curiosity, they can determine good versus bad and right versus wrong. They have a good emotional intelligence. All of these things, the things that I just listed, are housed in the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And so what Paul Tuff found through the research that he did in his book, How Children Succeed, is that if we teach kids skills that are frontal cortex skills, they can do anything else in life, and they can figure out how to do math problems, and they can figure out how to memorize history in the best way that works for them instead of just rote memorization. So all of my teaching strategies, everything that I did in conjunction with some mentors of mine in the school, is like, we were just figuring out, how do we teach the frontal cortex? How do we put kids in scenarios where they are tested, in their grit, and then we start to build those things? And so I'll give you an example of this, like from my life personally. So I have a daughter who's almost four. She'll be four on Sunday. And one of the things that I noticed with Coco is that there are often times when she'll try to do something and she'll get very, very, very frustrated. And her immediate thought is like, I can't do it. It's too hard. And so the praise that comes with this is like, Coco, you gave your best effort, right? And sometimes she says yes, and sometimes she says no. And so we go back and we say, hey, why don't you try to give your best effort and let's just see what happens. And even if she can't get it, the reality is that like she's learning something from that experience, because she's learning how to be resilient. She's learning how to have grit. She's learning how to have curiosity and figure out different ways to do it. Like, and giving her the encouragement, you know, like I said, building the skills instead of solving it for her is like, is there maybe another way that we could do it? Is there anything else that you think you could try? Is there another way? And so we're just constantly pouring into her with like, hey, your best effort is all you can do. And that's the case for any of us. And most people, like, quite frankly, like we were never raised that way to just give our best effort. And I'm not saying give a kid a trophy for best effort and everybody gets a trophy kind of thing. But what I am saying is that if we can build the skills of the frontal cortex within our children, which we can teach at home, this does not need to be taught in schools. It can be taught in schools. It would be great if it was always taught in schools. But the reality is like most of this is taught at home. One of my favorite examples of this is they do this, what's called a marshmallow study. And they've been able to replicate this over and over and over and over and over. I think since the 60s is the first time they did it. But what they do is they take kids and they put them in a room. And one of the researchers comes in and they say, hey, I can give you one marshmallow now, or if you can wait until I come back into the room, I'll give you two marshmallows and you can have them to eat. And so what they do is they leave the kiddo in the room with the one marshmallow on the plate and they see like what happens. And when they watch these kids, and I'm talking about like these are 2, 3, 4-year-old kids, these are not adults, is what they do is they watch the kids and they look at, some kids immediately eat the marshmallow. Some kids will like lick the marshmallow. Some kids will sniff it. Some kids will do other things, sing songs, kick the table. There's a number of strategies, but what you start to see unfold in this, and the interesting thing about this study and what they found is that these kids who don't eat the marshmallow and can delay their gratification until the researcher comes back in and gets two marshmallows, what they actually find is that those kiddos have strategies for allowing themselves to be distracted. So distracted in a good way. So like kicking the table or singing songs or dancing or stepping away. Like these are all strategies that kids have learned on how to distract themselves so that they can, it's literally building grit. It's building confidence. It's building willpower. It's building determination. It's building this idea that like, hey, if I can delay this gratification, I can get more later. And so these are just some of the things that I think about. What's cool about it is it's all frontal cortex related. And remember, everything that we do in my office is designed around affecting the frontal cortex of the brain through the adjustments that we provide. So teaching skills based on the frontal cortex. Don't forget where you came from. And remember that ultimately what it comes down to, like for the most part, is not intervening with your kids, but actually like praising effort and praising grit and not results and intelligence. So my friends, I hope you got some value out of this episode. I think this can relate to anybody at any phase of the game, whether or not you're a parent, whether or not you have kids, like, and you know, just thinking about how your brain develops and where you're at in life. And so when we see, you know, when I see the high school kid checking me out for ice cream at the ice cream place, and I'm like frustrated because he doesn't make eye contact well, it's like reminding myself like, hey, dude, used to be the exact same way. Used to be shy to talk to people. And, you know, instead of being harsh with them and judgmental, is like ultimately giving them some grace and then thinking about, you know, what could we do in the future to raise up a healthier, stronger generation of kiddos who are ultimately going to be successful because they have their frontal cortex skills. My friends, that's all I have for you this week. I love and I appreciate you. And I'll for sure be back with video next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to The Nexus Podcast with your host, Dr. Daniel Kindley. If you're interested in receiving more information about optimizing your brain and nervous system, check out our website at www.nexusfamilychiropractic.com.